You might have heard about the Narcissus prayer. I don't know who wrote this, but it's spot on. It goes like this. That didn't happen. And if it did, it wasn't that bad. And if it was, it's not a big deal. And if it is, that's not my fault. And if it was, I didn't mean it. And if I did, you deserved it. That progression of rationalizations and evasion of responsibility pretty much sums up how a narcissist or other manipulator will gaslight their target. In this episode, I'm going to explore this topic of erasing reality as a form of gaslighting. I'm going to give examples of how this happens in interpersonal relationships, the family, and society. I specifically want to focus on a current event in the world that is serving as an unfortunate learning opportunity, showing us exactly how abusers in power will erase reality at the expense of people's lives and well-being. This is Meredith Miller, and you're listening to the Inner Integration Podcast, where you can learn the mindsets and tools to self-heal after narcissistic abuse. Are you looking for a licensed therapist to help you in recovery? As you probably know, I no longer offer one-on-one coaching sessions, so I've partnered with BetterHelp, an online portal of licensed therapists, providing affordable therapy to you from the comforts and privacy of your home. You can talk with your therapist via video sessions, phone, chat, and online messaging. BetterHelp is available worldwide, and you can get matched with a therapist within 24 hours. When you visit betterhelp.com/integration, you'll get 10% off your first month. You'll find the direct link in the show notes. That link will take you to their intake questionnaire where you'll answer some questions about what you want to work on. Be sure to check the box for abuse and trauma so they can match you with a therapist who specializes in that area. If at any point you want to switch therapists, you can also do that at no additional charge. Ariel Levy did a great TED Talk called How to Deal with Gaslighting, in which she said, "The erasure of the abuse was worse than the abuse." That's a powerful statement, and it's so true. Ariel was referring to her childhood growing up with a narcissistic mother. When abusers use gaslighting to erase the abuse, they're erasing your reality. You've probably seen my video on gaslighting from a couple years ago. In that video, I described gaslighting as the act of distorting another person's perception of reality to the point that they think they're going crazy. Essentially, gaslighting is lying with an agenda. They're lying about what they did or what is happening in order to control your perception of reality. Perception is everything. If the manipulator can get you to adopt their perception of reality, then they get away with it. And when you hear it enough, you start to believe it. Some common gaslighting phrases that you'll hear are, "You're making a big deal out of nothing." For example, when you call out the abusive behavior and tell the person that it's unacceptable. "You're too hard on mom," when your codependent dad is defending the queen psychopath who he truly believes isn't abusive. "Everyone thinks you're crazy," when you're leaving the abuser and they have to find a way to keep you quiet, so they try to make you afraid of revealing the abuse. "You're the only one with a problem," when you're the only one awake in the family calling out the abuse and the toxic narcissistic family dynamics. "So-and-so is so much worse. This is nothing compared to that," when a covert abuser compares themselves to an overt type. These phrases essentially cancel your perception of the abuse and the abuser, while at the same time blaming you for even having such thoughts. So not only do they cancel the abuse, but they also flip it around on you. This is the most common way that an abuser will evade responsibility and blame the victim instead. Speaking from personal experience and from many people I've worked with, the worst part wasn't the abuse, but rather when people pretended the abuse didn't happen. That's the part that hurts the most. Of course, the abuser will do that, but it might also surprise you to see how many enablers will do this in order to maintain the dysfunctional dynamics of the family or social group, or even to defend an abusive individual that they are dependent upon. When you can see reality and everyone around you is telling you that's not real, your mind can go into shock. You could end up having a mental breakdown. That's why it's called crazy making. Gaslighting is used to cancel reality. This is very harmful to individuals who are the targets of abuse and gaslighting. This is incredibly dangerous when it's happening on a societal level. George Orwell wrote, "Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past." So here we can clearly see that whoever is controlling the present is also controlling the perception or memory of the past, as well as the future direction where things are going. That's why what's going on in the world right now is so interesting. We are seeing unprecedented levels of censorship and controlling of public perception, while innocent people are being abused and neglected in the process. Their reality is being canceled. During the recent years, the Gallup polls are showing a very small percentage of people who still go to mainstream corporate news sources for their daily dose of reality. Nowadays, most people doubt the trustworthiness of these sources, and with reason. This is often due to the extreme political bias we see nowadays in the media, sharing only selective facts, promoting a war agenda to appease the corporate sponsors, and twisting facts to fit their narrative. The Gallup poll in Americans' trust in mass media started in 1972. Back at the peak in 1976, 72% of Americans trusted mainstream media. In 2016, it was at a record low of 32%. Mainstream news channels are the biggest sources of gaslighting. More people started turning towards alternative online media in the recent decades. The powers that be noticed this trend and found other ways of continuing to manipulate public perception of reality. First, it started by assigning sites like Snopes as the authority on the truth, which later revealed itself to be a very biased organization run by a corrupt couple with ties to a corrupt political party. In the last year, you might have noticed that YouTube started putting a banner on the bottom of videos from foreign media channels that are partially or entirely paid for by the state, as if to warn viewers that it might be propaganda. But what's interesting is when you go to a CNN video on YouTube, there's no banner or disclaimer whatsoever. No one tells us about the war contracting corporations who sponsor corporate news channels, or the big banks who support and sponsor and fund the very war crimes committed by the state. They don't talk about the big pharma companies who purchase advertising to continue to sell us their agenda. That's because the warning banners on YouTube are meant to make you distrust any alternative sources of reality, and instead to blindly trust the ones that the corporate powers that be deem as trusted sources. Orwell's book, 1984, which he published in 1949, describes a dystopian future where information is being controlled by a minority of people and the past was erased. The narrator in the story describes how the past was erased through the control of the language that people are allowed to use to describe reality. This is unfortunately exactly where we are at right now in society. There are only 5 megacorporations controlling almost all of the American mainstream media. Back in 1983, there were 50 corporations running the mainstream media. That means now there are only 5 entities controlling the perception of reality. One of my friends, a former client actually, who lives in Europe, told me what it was like growing up in Germany in the 1980s. In schools, they emphasized the importance of being sure it never happens again, referring to the Nazi regime. I asked her what they mentioned as measures to be sure that never happens again. She said, well, for one, having a free press. My friend has lived in USA and Europe, and she said in Europe, the press is less biased and more free than in America. This is no surprise. While Germany is trying to distance itself from its Nazi history, America instead imported a bunch of Nazi scientists after the Second World War and put them to work in institutions of higher learning and governmental programs. This was very covert and continues to be something most Americans know nothing about. It's very important, now more than ever, to do your own research and discernment. Don't blindly accept as reality everything you're hearing on the news or in your social media feed. Most of that is highly manipulated. Seek out independent, investigative journalism sources and listen to a bunch of different opinions so you can see a broader landscape and notice the common patterns. Then, Apply your discernment abilities to see what feels right and what doesn't make sense. You should do the same for everything I say too. Strengthen your ability to think for yourself and to think critically while you still can. I'm not kidding. The level of censorship and propaganda nowadays is unbelievable. What's scary is that most people have no idea it's happening in countries like USA. Americans are conditioned to think this is something that happens only in places like China, Cuba, and North Korea. Did you know that USA legalized propaganda in 2015? It was called the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act. This, of course, is Orwellian language. Orwell didn't use the term gaslighting in his book 1984. He described a specific form of gaslighting where opposite words are used to hide the truth. He called this doublespeak. When you hear these opposites, your brain goes into a short circuit. You become confused and enter a state of denial. For example, the Ministry of Truth from Orwell's novel had three slogans: war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. When you hear those three phrases, you might notice they hurt your head a little because they don't make sense. The phrases are telling you to accept reality as the opposite of what you know it is. When you're in an abusive relationship and you see reality one way, but the narcissist is telling you the opposite, it's a mindfuck. This is the same kind of language you'll find governments and media use frequently. Once you open your eyes to this, you can't unsee it. You'll start to see it everywhere. You'll realize that we are living in the matrix and most people are still plugged into that system of control. When you start to really see what's going on in the world, you can see how the exact same patterns of narcissistic abuse in interpersonal relationships and the family are being used on society at large. And just like when you're the only one in your family or office who wakes up to the abuse, when you call it out, people will attack you and defend the abusive system. The same thing will happen when you share information online about what's going on at the societal level. People start calling you paranoid, tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorist, and other derogatory terms. Just like Morpheus told Neo, the people in the Matrix will defend it because they're hopelessly dependent on it. Being a truth teller is an act of courage, because when you speak up about abuse in an abusive system, whether a family, social group, office, or society at large, you will be smeared in order for the abusive system to maintain image. Now, I want to bring your attention to a global event that is likely going to be affecting us all in the near future. That's the novel coronavirus pandemic originating in Wuhan, China. For months, the Chinese authorities have been working hard to suppress the truth from getting out so they could maintain their control over the perception of reality of their people. They arrested the first journalist who tried to expose the disease outbreak back in December, long before you heard about it on the news. They're still suppressing news online. Chinese authorities tried to hide the story until they could no longer contain it, just like they lost control of the outbreak because they prioritized saving face over saving their people. China has a law against spreading rumors, which carries a penalty of up to 7 years in prison. This is another example of doublespeak. Spreading rumors, of course, could be sharing false information, but many times it actually means getting the truth out there, the truth that doesn't fit into the official story. Most hospitals in China started confiscating doctors and nurses' cell phones so they can't reveal what's really going on in the trenches. Some very brave citizens uploaded videos from the streets and hospitals, and in doing so, they took great risks to their life and well-being. China has a powerful control over internet access there, so people have to jump through a lot of hoops to try to get information into social media channels. Chinese authorities also hunt down people who post unauthorized information, and they'll scrub those videos from the internet. It's astounding how much manpower they have for this policing activity while many of their people are suffering and dying. The priority of an abusive system is to maintain image over everything else. There was a video of the police instructing a Chinese citizen how to gaslight others in order to avoid getting arrested for uploading information online about what was happening. They demanded the person take down their post and then post a new one, saying how they were wrong and foolish to say such a thing and they're sorry for causing such an inconvenience. The translations of the video said, "The first time the police knock, if you answer, you get a warning. If you don't answer the second time they knock, they take you to prison." I posted the video earlier this week and it was later scrubbed. Last week, the WHO, the World Health Organization, finally declared a state of international emergency regarding the novel coronavirus. Yet, in the same breath, they praised China's government for their, quote, commitment to transparency. That couldn't be farther from the truth. This is another example of gaslighting, or what Orwell called doublespeak. It's also incredibly cruel to the Chinese people who are suffering the consequences of the lack of transparency of their government. China's government is a totalitarian communist party who denies the reality of their citizens on the daily. China's government is an example of an overt form of abuse. Of course, there are Chinese nationalists who drink the Kool-Aid and support the communist party. And then there are also a lot of Chinese citizens who know that their government is horrible, but feel helpless to do anything about it. But China isn't the only place we see this totalitarian control over the perception of reality. We are seeing similar trends in the West. They're just much more covert. The news is on a gaslighting campaign to minimize the severity of the novel coronavirus by telling us that the seasonal flu is more dangerous. That is very likely not the case. They are also misrepresenting the statistics and providing disinformation based on figures that we can't possibly know yet because this pathogen is very new. The seasonal flu has about a less than 1% need for intensive care due to complications, such as pneumonia and other conditions that can require ICU hospitalization. The novel coronavirus is showing something like less than 20% prevalence of people needing intensive care. Now, of course, that number isn't certain yet because it's still too early. We won't know all the statistics of this disease until the pandemic is over and all the data can be analyzed. That will take some time. We also can't know how deadly it is until all the figures are complete. Right now, statistics are often estimating the mortality rate based on the total number of cases. However, that's inaccurate because we don't yet know the outcome for all those cases yet, whether they will die or be cured. What we are hearing out of China is that crematoriums are working 24/7, since bodies affected with this coronavirus must be incinerated and not buried. This is showing us that the actual death toll is likely much higher. We've also heard they're burning all dead bodies as a safety precaution since there aren't enough test kits to test everyone, so many people are dying without an official diagnosis. We are also hearing from family members of patients who died of the coronavirus that their death certificates are not noting the cause of death as coronavirus, even when they were diagnosed. Instead, they'll write something else like pneumonia or kidney failure on the death certificate, so they never appear in the official death count. We're also hearing that since there's no public transportation and gas stations are closed in places such as Wuhan, most people can't get to hospitals and are left to die at home. Those people are also not appearing in the statistics of the new coronavirus. The only good thing about the lack of sufficient test kits is that it's likely that people who got a lighter form of the virus and survived aren't showing up in the statistics yet, so it might not be as deadly as it seems. It's all just too nebulous to know for sure yet. But if you look at the videos coming out of China showing military in the streets and authorities spraying entire cities with disinfectant, you can quickly see this isn't a reaction to an ordinary seasonal flu. Now, here's where it gets really creepy. In October 2019, just a few months ago, Event 201 took place in New York. This was a simulation of a coronavirus pandemic. Yes, you heard that right. They very recently did a drill for the exact thing that's happening right now. What an interesting coincidence. You might be thinking, where have I heard that before? Running a drill for the exact thing that's happening? That also happened on 9/11. So anyhow, the Event 201 simulation of a coronavirus pandemic was formed by the Bill Gates Foundation, Johns Hopkins, big pharma companies, and other representatives from the private business sector. The Gates Foundation was pushing for greater power in the private sector. They fund vaccination research, of course, and they also fund the patenting of the coronavirus. Pharmaceutical companies were dog whistling about lowering state regulation requirements so they can get the vaccines on the market much sooner. While it's weird that they were just running this drill, if you dig a little deeper, you find some very concerning history that helps to connect the dots. Bill Gates said several years ago, "The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's heading up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. On the surface, you might not hear what he's saying. He used dog whistling there to speak to other members of the elite who are pro-population control. In other words, he's talking about reducing the population. Now, you might be thinking, but what do vaccines have to do with that? Aren't vaccines for just the opposite? UNICEF received $26 million from the Gates Foundation to, quote, fight maternal and neonatal tetanus. The vaccines were administered to 2.3 million young women of childbearing age in Kenya. Those vaccines were laced with an antigen called HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin, which can induce spontaneous abortions for up to 3 years after injections and can make women infertile after a period of time. The Kenyan Catholic Church figured out that the vaccines were laced with HCG when they had them tested by several private laboratories. Dr. Ngade, the spokesman for the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association, stated in a bulletin released on November 4, 2014, quote, "This proved our worst fears, that this WHO campaign is not about eradicating neonatal tetanus, but a well-coordinated, forceful population control, mass sterilization exercise using a proven fertility-regulating vaccine. The only time tetanus vaccine has been given in 5 doses is when it's used as a carrier in fertility-regulating vaccines laced with HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin, developed by the WHO in 1992. In 2014, the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association charged UNICEF and WHO, which are both UN organizations, with sterilizing 2.3 million girls and women by administering an anti-tetanus vaccination program sponsored by the Kenyan government. The Kenyan government got kickbacks for participating in the UN vaccination programs and continues to defend them. When the people providing the, quote, life-saving vaccines are also advocates of population control, we have a lethal and covert gaslighting campaign. You might be wondering, how did they get away with that? The UN claims that some vaccines were, quote, contaminated in the manufacturing process with the sterility drug. But that's just not possible. Even if companies are so careless in making vaccines, then that's even crazier. It seems more to me that this is a race-based genocide and crimes against humanity disguised as humanitarian work and philanthropy. The same vaccine sterilization campaign with HCG and neonatal tetanus shots was used in 1993 in both Mexico and Nicaragua and then in the Philippines in 1994. Gates is one of the pushers of population reduction disguised as humanitarianism. He's not the only one. The Rockefellers, who have a lot of influence in the UN, and other members of the elite have also called for population reduction. And these elitists tend to target poor, developing countries and people of color. Similar sterilization efforts via vaccines took place in Brazil, Peru, and other countries. The India Supreme Court is also trying to hold the Gates Foundation, the WHO, and other corporations accountable for their crimes. 16,000 tribal school children in India were the test guinea pigs for the HPV vaccine. Many of those children fell ill and even died. The Gates Foundation declared the India project a, quote, total success, just as they did with other similar projects with similar results. Now, when you hear the words total success used to describe an experiment that cost the health and lives of people, that just points straight to psychopathy. All of the victims of these campaigns have been gaslit by their own governments who received kickbacks for promoting these vaccinations, as well as international organizations like the WHO and the UN. Even when the Kenyan doctors provided laboratory proof of the HCG-laced vaccines, they were gaslit about an accidental contamination. This is another form of canceling reality. I'm bringing up this history because soon you'll start hearing about a mass vaccination campaign response to the novel coronavirus or the next worst pandemic that's coming after this one. You will see these same gaslighting tactics being used. Be aware of this history and do your own research. Think for yourself and don't just believe what you hear in the news or even by global organizations. As Dr. George Simon says, past behavior is often the best predictor of future behavior. Adding to the level of creepiness around the novel coronavirus pandemic, a couple weeks ago on January 22nd, just when international awareness of the coronavirus in China really caught on, Netflix released a new documentary series called Pandemic. It's about a global flu pandemic. You can't make this shit up. None other than our globally trusted Bill Gates makes appearances in the series, pushing the vaccine agenda and masquerading as the savior of humanity. The whole point of the series is to induce fear of the pandemic, then provide the savior's solution, which is about quickly pushing vaccines to market without running adequate safety checks. It's insane, but it's big business for big pharma, with kickbacks for global organizations and participating countries. It's important for me to make the disclaimer that this doesn't mean all vaccines are bad. Unsafe and inadequately tested vaccines are bad. Laced and contaminated vaccines are bad. Using vaccines as a covert instrument for population control is bad. Who knows how dangerous the rushed vaccines for the new coronavirus will be? Who knows what they might be accidentally contaminated with? Remember, you can't sue a pharmaceutical company in the USA for anything that happens to you as a result of their vaccines. Congress has absolved these predator corporations of all responsibility for damages and deaths caused by their vaccinations. Psychopaths protecting psychopaths. The scary part is, will they try to make these vaccines obligatory? Will they force us to receive untested and likely unsafe chemicals in our body? Which, of course, they'll swear up and down about how safe and necessary they are. But we also waive our right to hold them accountable if something happens to us. I believe it's important to allow personal freedom over one's health choices. Besides, if their vaccines actually work, then they shouldn't be upset about people opting out. Another important application of gaslighting was addressed during the Event 201. By the way, you can watch the highlights reel from the simulation event on YouTube, and you can also watch it in separate segments. One of the segments is on communications. That's where they're talking about how to control the information people are getting online about the pandemic. They talked about how some countries in the simulation chose to shut down the internet for periods of time to reduce panic, and how other countries decided instead to flood the news feed with trusted sources. That means if you open Twitter, Facebook, etc., the powers that be are going to push information into your feed from their chosen authoritative sources, like the WHO. We've already explored just a few reasons why the WHO can't be trusted. They want us to believe that China's government's response to the recent outbreak has shown commitment to transparency. Is that really where we're setting the bar for transparency nowadays? After statements like that, we would be completely out of touch with reality to believe in the trustworthiness of such organizations. So when you hear the words like trusted sources, ask yourself, who trusts those sources? Or who wants you to trust those sources? Should you trust those sources? What is their record of lying, gaslighting, or disseminating propaganda disguised as truth in order to carry out their agendas? A few months ago, I did a video called The Extortion of Trust, which is a tactic that all abusers and manipulators use to get you to trust them. You must trust these specific authorities because we said so. That is the very Definition of Propaganda. I was listening to a live broadcast of a WHO meeting this week on the new coronavirus pandemic. They were talking about the infodemic that spreads with any epidemic, as they were discussing ways to combat both. I was relieved to hear Dr. Sylvie Briand, the Director of Infectious Hazards Management Department at WHO, say that censorship is not the answer and we must allow for the freedom of expression. I agree with that. I hope countries will not allow the crisis of a pandemic to sway them against the freedom of expression of its citizens. If you do see that happening, that's not a good sign. Remember, censorship has both overt and covert forms, just as gaslighting does. There are still many more questions than answers regarding this novel coronavirus. We still don't even know where it came from. Patient Zero, the first person who got infected, never visited the Huanan wet market, and neither did several others of the original people infected. So while the virus was found present at the market, it's irresponsible for organizations or media to insist that it originated there, because that data is still unknown. It's also irresponsible to dismiss the possibility that it escaped, whether accidentally or intentionally, from the maximum security biolab in Wuhan that handles the world's most deadly pathogens. We still don't know these answers for sure. We will likely see this pandemic escalate before it goes away, and eventually more answers will come. For now, the up to 14-day incubation period, where an infected person is asymptomatic yet contagious, is the perfect agent of gaslighting. Governments can pretend like nothing is happening because the signs aren't visible until it's too late. Unfortunately, that's what's seeming to be happening in Mexico right now. Last weekend, we found out from Uber Mexico, posting on their Twitter page, that they were informed by the Secretary of Health of Mexico that a Chinese tourist who was in Mexico City for 2 days in late January returned to LAX, where he was spotted by the health screening and tested positive for the new coronavirus. Uber immediately deactivated 240 accounts of users who rode in the same cars as the infected tourist, and also deactivated the accounts of the drivers of those cars until further notice. Uber's public announcement caused a local news source called Milenio to write an article on the story that night. As far as I can tell, they were the only ones who did. Included in that article was the official document from the Secretary of Health. In that document, we discovered that the CDC from USA had notified Mexico of this tourist testing positive on the 28th of January. Still, over a week later, the Mexican government has not ever mentioned this and continues their gaslighting campaign, saying, "We have no confirmed cases of coronavirus here and there is no alert." They're using a technicality to lie by omission, since the tourist tested positive in the USA, not in Mexico. But that doesn't mean he didn't contaminate quite a few people, as well as the Hilton, a museum, and other areas in the historic center while he was here. The same weekend this story came out, Mexico welcomed back a dozen students who were studying in Wuhan, China. The students reported to the media that nothing was done to them upon arrival. There were no health screening checks, and they were sent straight home to their families without a quarantine period. We know that there are no health screenings taking place at the airports here. This is beyond negligent. We can see from these gaslighting campaigns and the irresponsible decisions made by the authorities that the outbreak of the novel coronavirus in Mexico is likely going to be intense, because we won't find out until it's already out of control, much like what happened in China. I suspect the same thing is happening in some other countries that haven't registered official cases yet. Not that they don't have cases of the virus, but that they haven't detected them yet. I get my information mostly from independent media, but I did take a peek at the mainstream media to see what they're pushing. What I hear is more gaslighting. They're telling people not to panic, and they're also not informing people of what's really going on. Here, we see one of the mottos of Orwell's Ministry of Truth: ignorance is strength. Ignorance isn't strength, and it isn't bliss either. Being informed is not the same thing as being worried or panicked. When we get informed, we can take measures to prepare as best as we can for the potential chaos that is coming. When we are prepared, we don't have to worry. The people who are going to panic are those who aren't paying attention, because they won't be prepared or informed when the shit hits the fan. Keep your eyes and ears out for gaslighting in the news and from organizations and government. Talk with people who are willing to have a conversation on topics like this. The only way that we can combat the gaslighting campaigns is to do our own research and talk to others who are receptive to listen and discuss further. This is how we maintain our grip on reality. I think it's important that we keep thinking for ourselves and talking about these things while we still can. If we become complacent, one day in the not too distant future, we will find ourselves where the narrator of Orwell's 1984 is, trying to remember the past and not even having the words to be able to think about the past because the state has long ago deleted those words from the known vocabulary of the people. If you're in an abusive relationship or family or other social group where you see the erasure of reality taking place, that's a cue to opt out and maintain your sense of reality so you can keep your sanity. Unfortunately, in the global arena, we can't opt out of most of the events that are taking place around us. While that can feel disempowering and cause us to become complacent due to the learned helplessness, what we can do is to be informed and aware of what's going on, to talk to others who are receptive, and to hope that enough people wake up and see reality before it's too late. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Inner Integration Podcast. I hope you learned something today that helps you to see from a new perspective and to start using new tools so you can take action and transform your life after narcissistic abuse. Remember, you are enough. You matter, and you got this. If you liked this episode and want to hear more, subscribe to get automatic updates on new podcast episodes as they're released. Visit us online at innerintegration.com, where you get instant access to a free quick start guide to recovery after narcissistic abuse upon entering your name and email. You'll also find there digital courses that have already helped thousands of people move through the self-healing process. Get loads more free inner integration content to help you heal after narcissistic abuse on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Big hug to you.